Welcome to GamerCast, episode 124. Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is episode 124 for the 13th of July 2008.
We're here. Oh, yeah.
Let's just publish this comment. So we had a letter from Mr. Windsor, who says, "Hi guys, how have you been? There has been some great shows lately. Sorry about no letters, I'm in the process of moving house. I am moving tomorrow. Not really had time for gaming at the moment. We're looking into what's coming up. I have played a little Football Manager 2008 though. As soon as things start getting back to normal, I will do a proper letter."
Cool. Good luck with the move.
Yep. Hopefully everything works out alright and you don't realise that your house explodes or something. And it sounds like I'm eating, it's because I am. I do apologise.
He's just come from walking the dogs and he's eating chips.
And we went back via McDonald's, so.
Yeah.
Right. Let's kick on with the show notes. So if Adam wants to do that.
Can I jump in with some extra stuff first?
No.
Just quickly.
Go ahead.
iPhone related with Apple. Paul will like this.
Nobody cares.
Paul will like this. On the 11th last Friday, the 2.0 software came out with the release of the new iPhone. And again, they did it again. You know, we talked about the release of the iPhone where they weren't prepared with server access and loads of people ended up with their iPhone.
Because you need to effing activate the iPhone. What a joke.
Exactly. The new software needs a quick activation from iTunes Store to do it. So I ended up with my phone being sat in
your cradle for like 10 hours.
Yeah, waiting. And kept trying to get on, waiting for the thing. Now, I love my iPhone, and the new update, absolutely amazing, but I'm really disappointed with the fact that we had done this once already with going on about the fact that their server access was being hammered by everybody doing it at once. I should have known better to not try it on the day it was released, but it ended up ringing pretty much all day. My phone would only ring 999, and that's all it would do.
Yeah. The thing is, if Apple have any sense, excuse me, they would have released the 2.0 update last week. So you don't have all the chaos from the people who are upgrading their phones with the new firmware to people buying new phones. It would have to load on the server.
One thing that I think would have been really useful would have been they'd done the same thing that happens with the activation code for authorizing your copy of Windows, where you don't need to do it there and then. You can survive up to 30 days. And you, as long as you do it at some point. They'd done that with the iPhone so that it would work, but you kept getting a warning every time, like every hour or every day you turn up saying you've got so many days before your iPhone switches off until you get it authorized. And that would mean people would do it a bit at a time.
That's a really good point. Now with Windows, most people do activate on probably day one.
Yeah.
I'd imagine they get over and done with. Obviously the people who buy it from a manufacturer, it's already pre-activated. But considering Microsoft have a billion machines in the world and sell as many PCs in like a day as Apple sell, iPhones, you never see Microsoft having activation issues.
No, because they're prepared for mass.
There was one weekend last year where the activation servers were down for one weekend. That's pretty good.
Well, when you've got 30 days activation, the only people who are really going to be affected is Mr. I can't be asked to
and
activate
the thing is,
it. He's
you,
on his last you, couple of days of the 30 days.
If you're on 30 days, you can just, rearm the thing and have another 30 days.
Yeah. But, that's my real grumble with Apple today. It really pissed me off because that meant I was out without a phone, and then the apps I downloaded, this was my fault, I had to ring up Apple to find out what to do. I hadn't authorized my PC to allow me to download it. So say for instance, I logged into my iTunes at someone else's house. If they went in and tried to buy, say they went and bought an entire album with my money because I'd left myself logged in, I'd end up with that album, but they wouldn't be able to download it onto their computer. They have a thing that allows you to authorize that computer to receive the download once it's been purchased. and also devices, so that it stops people taking your stuff if you quickly log in.
That is a really nice way to spin it. It's DRM, and it's there to stop you from sharing things with your buddy.
That was my next point, was the fact, yeah. But I managed to reauthorize my PC, because I'd never done it before, because I never use iTunes. And I got some two little cool apps. One of them was one that was released on the keynotes with Apple, which was this guy. It was, I don't know if I mentioned it on the previous show. It's a guy who's a developer for a marketing firm, and he's made up his own little company called MooCow Music, and he's developed this piece of software which is called Band, and it's called MooCow Music Band, and it's quite a nice piece of software. And basically,
so what does it do?
It allows you to record everything you're doing and pre-record over the top of each other and mix together track. So
what's so special about that?
Well, here I've got like cymbals and stuff, so I've got,
what was that all? Welcome to EJ. Remember, yeah. EJ?
Then I got some beats.
Have you had a play with the new 3G one yet?
No, not yet. That's the bass guitar.
There's one key thing. Yeah, there's one key thing I noticed. The speakers sound crap. The external speaker, it's worse than the old one, yeah.
And this one is my favourite one, which is blues guitar. So,
yeah, what I did is I went into O2. I went into O2 cool. Today after I finished work. I went in there. And you know, I moved to the Simplicity tariff a couple of weeks back?
Yeah.
It still hasn't been activated. So I went in there to see why it hadn't been done yet, and the Guinness Award and all that. So while I was there, I went around all the iPhones and put Gamercast on all of them.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, I didn't put them on all of them, I put them on about half of them. Because the other two were like, they didn't work properly. Because the normal ones were hooked up over Wi-Fi.
The other piece of software which I thought was quite cool, it's basically a tiny little lightsaber, and you pick which colour you want, so I'll have blue colour.
You're getting desperate, dude. Okay, so I've got a question. Is there any way I can install a custom certificate on the device?
A custom certificate?
Like a SSL certificate.
Oh, to access a certain website where you need certificate authorization for accessing. Don't know. Never needed to go on any website.
Because that's something which... well, yesterday, Catherine ordered an HTC Touch Diamond...
Oh yeah, yeah.
She got one off Orange, £30 a month tariff, £40 for the phone.
What do you think? Or have you not been up there?
I was. Well, it's going to arrive on Tuesday, and I'm going to be coming up the week after.
Cool.
So, but if anybody asks, it isn't just to see the phone. Okay, maybe it is. But
see your girlfriend at the same time, it's a plus.
So yeah, well, she also gets £150 cash back as well, so it actually works out quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that basically pushes the tariff down to about £20 a month.
That's not bad.
With the £150, you know, cash back. So that's actually really good. So I'll have a review on Gamercast episode 25. It's 26, I think I'll have a review of the HTC Touch Diamond.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, that'd be cool to see if it lives up to your expectations, if it beats them.
Put it this way.
Or...
I was really tempted to fucking order one myself. But I said, no, I must wait for the Touch Pro.
What is available with O2 at the moment?
Nothing, they announced anything. But Vodafone and Orange are now selling them.
O2. Fair enough, O2 have got their Golden Boy iPhone, but it, you know...
That's no good for their business customers who want 2,000 XDAs.
They need to be able to push out and match. And if they're going to be having it, then I imagine they'll just follow in behind. The only thing I can think of is maybe
they will. O2 are always a couple of weeks fucking behind for like the previous...
Yeah.
And the Stellar, they took like 2 months longer to get the Stellar out than everyone else. But I can live with that because I can get Craig Stapp discount. Right. So yeah, that's cool. HTC Touch Diamond. So yeah, I'm now super jealous and I want that phone. I offered her £200 if I could borrow it until the Touch Pro is released. She said no. It's like, ugh, a knife through my heart.
Yeah, but she's just as much as a techno geek as you are, so she's hardly going to let
give it up. Yeah, but I want one. I want it.
As Sarah always reminds me whenever I want something, he goes, I want, don't get.
It's not one, I want one. Awesome. It's so awesome.
Cool.
I want that phone. What? I want the Touch Pro. Yeah. So there's actually some pictures of a Touch Pro out now, so you can see how much fatter it is. HTC Touch Pro. They've got some like comparison pictures with the Touch Diamond. Where did I see it? In Gadget, that would be it. Oh no, that's not it. Bollocks.
It's nice though.
Yeah. The main thing that hits you is it's got cornered, the edges are rounded instead of being like square corners as they are in Diamond. And I prefer that.
Yeah, I don't like
square. They do that partly to try and hide the extra size of it compared to the Touch Diamond. But if I find these damn pictures...
Maybe it's the operating system, a Pacific...
It's Windows Mobile 6.1.
Has it been altered to run on the Diamond? As in, it does... It has apps and...
Well, yeah, it's got all the... You know, well, anyone can put whatever apps they want on Windows Mobile. That's the point of it.
Yeah. What I mean is, does this come... Like, that picture there where it's got the white pictures and stuff like that, is that all standard, as in you put that operating system on my Windows Mobile device?
The UI, this bit here, is the Touch Flow interface, which is an application...
Which comes on that.
On this particular device, yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's a bit more chunky.
But that's a little bit more to hold in your hand, so you don't feel like you're going to drop it.
Well, yeah, plus, I mean, with a keyboard, yeah, of course it's going to be more chunky.
Yeah.
And with the extra RAM memory card slot, bigger battery, etc. TV out, etc.
Cool.
Oh, there's a really nice picture of it on Wikipedia. HTC Touch. Maybe not. Here we go. This is a really nice picture. You can really see the kick-ass screen on it. Just look at that screen.
Paul's been going on about VGA.
VGA.
For
not your crappy iPhone with its 320 by 410 or whatever it is. VGA 640 by 480. Four times the number of pixels as my current pocket PC.
That's more pixels than my pocket PC, isn't it?
It's the same as your universal.
It's the same.
Yeah. The universal screen I drew it over, now it will be mine.
Mm-hmm.
Only it will be smaller. And like the size of my device. So yeah, HTC Touch Diamond is available on Orange for whatever I just said. It's also on Vodafone for their business tariffs. So I don't know what the deal with that is. But so I didn't bother having to look. But if you're a Quidco, you can get 150 quid back.
Cool.
So yeah, it's just like a week and a bit to go before I get to feel one in my hands. So yeah, well, I was with the certificate thing. I was thinking of, because Catherine uses my exchange server, she'll have to install a certificate on her device, which is a little bit more hassle. So I was actually tempted to buy a certificate, but it's like 15 quid a year, and it's only like me and Catherine who use it.
Oh, a certificate to actually access the exchange.
Well, the thing is, exchange obviously uses an encrypted connection over, you know.
Yeah.
So you need the SSL certificate to make sure the server is identifying itself. But what I'm doing at the moment is using a self-signed certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is put that into the trusted root directory on the device.
Right, Microsoft Exchange. So far, it's...
Surely, I wouldn't think it'd be under Exchange settings. It would be under General settings, because surely the certificate would be system-wide. That's how we do it on Windows, anyway.
Oh, I'll have to look into that, but...
I mean, it's, you know, the iPhone, it is nice, but... Oh, the new ones, they have, like, a plastic back.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons, kind of, like, what I was majorly put off was the fact that the iPhone I've got has got metal back, and I was kind of like, I don't like the plastic. Yeah, I actually do like...
Yeah, the plastic back scratches really easily, apparently.
Yeah, I prefer that model. I'm in no greater need to upgrade.
The new one is a little bit thinner, but
I don't want it anything.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, what's wrong with the size of it? I mean, seriously, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, any smaller, you know, it's just make it the same size and put more power in it.
Yeah.
You don't need to make it smaller.
The only thing body-wise that they've actually improved on the new model is the headphone jack, which is not much of a major change.
If you subscribe to GamerCast on this, I'll take it you've got it's got an RSS application.
Not entirely sure. I think it does. Yeah.
Where would I find it?
Tell that.
Because I don't see it on your obvious, all the stuff you've got on your screens. Because you have to subscribe to GamerCast on it, dude.
We don't actually have RSS.
That sucks. Surely there's an RSS thing you can download on the App Store now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So yeah, subscribe to GamerCast. Anyway, let's actually get on with the flipping show.
Yeah.
Instead of talking about our new geeky toys, which are really old geeky toys, but whatever. So in PlayStation land, Sony have
announced that there will be no plans for a price cut on the PlayStation 3.
Oh, I've got to get through all these emails.
Basically because Xbox have announced a price cut on the Xbox 360, and in doing so...
This is only in North America.
Yeah, in North America. Sony's response to the question is that there is no plans to actually price cut at the moment. I suppose they're having to try and run off that very knife edge that the company has put themselves on with the whole getting rid of the 60 and 90 gig ones and going down to the 40 gig and putting the price drop and ripping loads of hardware and stuff out. They've put themselves in a very precarious situation. So for that reason, I don't think they could push it anymore. They couldn't get any more out of it unless sales really increased. Now, fair enough, sales on PlayStation 3s have increased a pebble to larger than normal due to the fact of Metal Gear Solid 4 being out.
Metal Gear Solid.
But not...
Snake is a queer.
Not enough to be putting the prices down on the consoles themselves. I'm sure they're still losing money out as it is. So... I can't see a price drop coming anytime soon. Wait until Christmas, maybe some more games out that make people want to maybe buy one, maybe then, but apart from that, no. I honestly, anytime soon, I can't see the prices shifting at all. Do you want to talk about the...
The 360 drop was $50, wasn't it?
Not entirely sure.
Okay, we think it was $50. We're not sure because it's North America, and we don't know what this dollar thing is.
Dollars.
I assume it's some sort of unit of currency or something.
Yep.
So, do you want to talk about a bit about Mythic and all that?
Yeah, Mythic loses the EA from its name for its Warhammer Online. They're stating this has got nothing to do with the relationship between both companies. Nothing like that is changing or the game itself. It is more to the sense of they wanted to go back to using the name Mythic for this release instead of it being named underneath as an EA title. I don't know if that's branding issues or something like that, but...
Well, the thing is, having EA in your goddamn name, it's... You know, even if they don't like to say it, in many ways, especially among gamers who are like...
Hardcore.
Literate, in that they know... what EA is and how dodgy many things that EA do are. And God, what the hell am I saying? EA suck.
But the good thing
and
about
hardcore
it is,
gamers who actually would play something like that online would know that.
Yeah, where Mythic had no help from EA in constructing this game, so for that reason there's no need for them to have EA there, and I think that's where they've kind of come from on this angle, is to push for using the Mythic title for this game. But yeah, no more change on that. Jumping some extra bit into the show notes, which I completely forgot about, which has just popped in my head. I made some notes of a game that I looked at, but I'm going to need Paul for the translation of what that says.
I imagine you just pronounce it Echochrome.
Yeah, Echochrome. Yeah, it's this new game that's out on PSP. But also for like
Echochrome.
For £4 you can download a version of it for your PS3 to translate down onto PSP, or you can buy the £6 version, which is the PS3 version. Quite a simple puzzle game, which I do like. I can't remember the artist who created those mazes where the steps look like they're going down to the second level, but they're actually meet up with the top level and stuff like that. You know, where the men are walking around? You know what I'm on about?
No, I didn't hear a word you said.
You know, you get those images where steps are going upside down and left and
right. Oh, those funny paradoxical images, yeah.
Well, basically what this is, it's a level with one of those wooden characters that you... I've got a couple of them that you pose into different positions to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of them walking around, and you have to use the six axis to move this level around. And because you're looking at it as 2D, if you twist it so that it actually forces perception and to make it look like the steps are actually touching a level that part of the platform they're not touching, as long as it looks like they are touching from your perspective, he will walk up the steps and walk onto that platform. Then you rotate it round and the steps are no longer touching the platform. Oh my god, there's a hole right in front of him. So you rotate it round so a bit of platform that's sticking up vertically covers your vision of touching the hole. If you can't see the hole, then the hole doesn't exist anymore. He walks past the hole, you move it around, he didn't fall through the hole. Then you get a gap where two pieces don't meet up and you do exactly the same thing. Or you move it around so that it looks like the gap has been filled by another piece. And as he's walking on that middle piece, if you moved it around, he doesn't end up onto the other side of that gap. He's now on this new piece and you move him around that way. So it's all bending.
So in other words, it's a really weird game.
Yeah, very weird game. Weird puzzle game. But yeah, I saw that and I was quite intrigued. That kind of caught my attention.
So let's briefly talk about you and your email. What do you use for all that? Because you said something about using Mobile Me.
It's not out yet. Mobile Me is the upgrade of .Mac.
Well, it should be out now. The trouble is they had a few issues.
I was curious because I went on the website to see if it was out or not, and there's no official...
Have you seen how insulting their web page is?
Internet Explorer is not fully supported. Explorer 7 is not supported.
This is IE8 I'm using. When it detects an unknown...
Please use Firefox or Safari.
When it detects an unknown browser like IE8, it says, we recommend you get Firefox and Safari.
Yeah, I wouldn't have seen that because I don't use Internet Explorer, I use Firefox. So I wouldn't have seen
that. It's really offensive. So what I'm tempted on doing is on my blog, putting up an identical message, only saying, Safari is gay. And if it detects you're using Mac OS, it says, Mac OS is gay and is not officially supported on this blog. Please upgrade to a superior operating system like Windows and or GNU Linux.
That'd be quite cool.
The thing is, if I did that, I'd be flamed to hell. The Apple will fucking do it and get away with it, no problem. You know, they had all their iPhone activation stuff died. Mobile Me was delayed. And now it's insulting people. And Mobile Me, this is what Paul Farrell has to say about it. Mobile Me's various services are so incomplete as to be almost unusable, especially on the PC side. You can access Mobile Me via any Windows-based email application, but you can't synchronize contacts or scheduling information with any PC-based applications. Not even the ones built into Windows. On a Mac you can sync both. The calendar service can't import or subscribe to external applications. If you're thinking about migrating from, say, Outlook or Google Calendar, you'll need to manually recreate your entire calendar. You can only import contacts one at a time using the web interface. Oh gosh. So yeah, Mobile Me is basically this huge disaster.
It's not in that case, basically Mobile Me is very good. But what's actually happened is not what was very good that was written on the box. So it doesn't say, it's not doing what it says on the tin.
Well, yeah, it is. Except it has all these limitations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you use for email at the moment?
I have Google Mail and Hotmail.
Okay, Google Mail, but you sort of just use that.
Yeah, Google Mail just for the fact that I can receive.
Can you set your iPhone to check every like 5 minutes?
My iPhone automatically checks every 15 minutes just so that it's not pissing me off. Because if my phone activates because of the signal, my keyboard like yours that you have, I have one of those at work, but it's a wireless one, and my iPhone interferes with the signal and it cuts out keystrokes. So I don't like my iPhone activating. So if all of a sudden when I'm typing starts disappearing, I know it's kind of like having the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, but I don't have any speakers. Well, I do, but I have them turned off at work. So when all of a sudden...
So your iPhone interferes with your wireless keyboard?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Only when I'm receiving an email, text message, or...
So when it's actually sending data?
But it's very, very abrupt. It doesn't do it very quickly. The only one that completely cuts me out from being able to use the mouse or the keyboard is if I'm actually surfing the internet. So I can't surf the internet and do work at the same time.
Can't you ask for wired keyboards and stuff?
No, I asked for a wireless one because they wanted the split keyboard for touch typing. The keyboard's near enough broken, so I'm going to get a new one and get a wired one with a different mouse.
Good idea. I mean, seriously, what's the point of having a wireless keyboard when it's right next to the computer?
It was already bought. See,
right, go in there and just slap them. So yeah, Mobile Me sucks. And my predictions of it being similar to Windows ME were entirely correct. Speaking of that, of course, if you want to exchange, I can always, you know, set something up. So also in the news, Konami have sent out the lawyers to attack people.
Yep.
They basically sued Harmonix over Rock Band.
Do you want to read this one out?
Okay, I'll just read it directly off gamesindustry.biz. Konami is suing Harmonix, Viacom, and MTV Networks over alleged patent infringement in Rock Band video game. The publisher's patents were issued in 2002 and 2003 and cover simulated musical instruments and a musical rhythm matching game. Konami is seeking cash compensation and an order to block Viacom and Harmonix using the peripheral included in the game, according to a complaint filed yesterday in Marshall, Texas. Rock Band ships with a bundle of peripherals, guitar, drums, and a microphone, costing over $160 in the US and almost £180 sterling in the United Kingdom. So far, Rock Band online music store has sold over 15 million paid downloads. Although Harmonix has seen incredible success with Guitar Hero and Rock Band franchises, Konami has its own Guitar Freaks series. Oh yeah, Guitar Freaks, what a crap game. Which first appeared in the arcades in 1999 and has since moved to PlayStation and PlayStation 2 formats. Nice to see them keeping up with the times. Most recently, the publisher of Dance Dance Revolution and Pro Evolution Soccer announced Rock Revolution, I keep wanting to say Rock Band Revolution, another music-based game centered around drums and in production at UK's Zoe Mode Studio. A spokesperson for Viacom told Bloomberg that the company has yet to receive a complaint from Konami and so would not issue any comment. Rock Band was released last November in the United States and has proved so popular, publisher Electronic Arts has announced a sequel for September, which was announced in June. The success of Rock Band has earned Harmonix a bonus of $280 million under the terms of the company's acquisition by Viacom in 2006.
Well, that gives the impression that Konami don't like the fact that...
The thing is, Konami has all these patents, right? But what have they fucking done with it? Nothing. I mean, you know, Guitar Freaks?
It's big in the... arcades, but that's about it, because Konami do a lot of arcade machines.
Sorry, Konami, but come on, get real. They actually did something.
Putting it onto the Xbox 360, I guess they didn't take the chance. Konami didn't take the chance.
Konami, you know, they've got the patents, they've had this sort of stuff for years, they did nothing with them.
Yeah. They just want to fleece off a bit of money from...
Now they want other people to do the work and for them to get money from it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Konami, you lose. This is my personal opinion and may not reflect other authors or contributors to GamerCast.
Right. We have...
What?
A review.
Yep, we've got World of Warcraft.
Okay.
World of Warcraft is a game which is good. Right. Next review.
My World of Warcraft account's cancelled.
Cancelled?
Yeah, because I've changed my card number. I forgot about it, so I went to play this weekend and it's frozen. So I took the opportunity to change Massive Multiplayer for the weekend. Just for the weekend. Started playing Star Wars Galaxies. Doesn't run very well on my computer because my computer's having issues actually running at the moment because it's had near the end of its days. And played it, remembered how great the game it was, and also remembered how bad it actually looks in comparison to WoW, and then also realised that barely anybody is playing it now because the entire server is empty compared to what it usually is. So by the end of it, I've just realised I'm going to uninstall it and go back on the WoW. So, viva the WoW.
So yeah, basically, you may remember last week we talked about Sins of a Solar Empire,
which we were downloading while recording the show.
Downloading the demo.
Yeah.
Which I installed, mm-hmm. played it for the night, and said, "Yeah, I'm getting this game."
Mm-hmm.
So I now have the full game. I've had enough time to play through almost an entire game against a computer. And yeah, it is really sweet. I'll just quickly show you, because you've not seen it running, have you?
No.
I'll just show you my last save game. So Adam knows what I'm talking about here. So it's, I'm not too happy about this goofy artwork. No offense to whoever drew it. It's a good picture, but we don't need it. I don't want to see some old man staring at me, thanks. It's freaky enough as it is without having old men looking at me.
So, what's your first opinion? Is it similar to what you thought it was going to be? Kind of.
Okay, pretty much what I thought after seeing the videos.
Homeworld.
It's real time. I mean, this is made by some of the ex Homeworld people.
Yeah, that's quite good. Nice being able to be able to zoom out to the whole galaxy.
It's got the whole Supreme Commander thing where you can zoom right into a tiny ship and then zoom out to view the entire system. And you can still, you know, see it all.
Is it running off a just X and Y movement, or is it running off...
Well, basically, the computer will do it automatically. So you notice not all these planets are in a plane. Some of them are
higher
than others. But there is a way to move it
in
the vertical as well.
Those ships are lower down.
But I can't remember what the key is.
Okay, but yeah, because those ships to your left
are much lower down. Much less useful... Simply because most combat takes place in an area around a planet. So this is a gravity well of a planet where you can build defenses and structures and your ships live. You can send your ships off, let's just grab these guys, to move them
outside of the gravity well.
But only a little bit outside the gravity well. Right. So you'll see if I'm clicking up here, it won't go any further than that. So basically all combat is stuck around these little areas.
Right, so people don't want to fight in the middle of nowhere.
Because it is, you know, is a dramatic amount of space between the planets. And what you do is...
Are those lines representing ability to...
Yeah, these lines represent ability to travel. So what you'll see is he goes out of the gravity well, because you need to be outside the gravity well to travel, and then he'll activate his jump drive... and blast off to the other system.
Now, does everything, all ships, shapes and sizes have jump?
Yep, everything does it. Well, I'm not sure if fighter squadrons do, but they're normally tied to a carrier or a hangar, so...
Yeah, they'd be able to...
But everything else can, yeah.
That's quite a good effect. It kind of looks like a flying comet.
Yeah, so he's busy warping to the other system now.
Oh, that's cool. It's not instantaneous as well.
No, it does take a while. See the trade ships going back and forth as well. So all the red on here is basically my systems. So it plays like... It's epic on the scale of Civilization in that games take hours.
Yeah, it is... we would say it's kind of like a space RTS of...
Oh, here we go. We've actually got a fight going on. Yeah, I'm blowing up this dude's asteroid. So this is an enemy asteroid, and I'm bombarding it. Because basically you've found colonies on all these planets and asteroids. So this is being destroyed. Let's just blow that up. So yeah, the effects are really nice. Obviously with a planet you get these big things as well. Let's just send this dude around. This dude's got really nice weapons.
That's not quite... That's very nice. Seeing all the missiles flying into it and stuff.
So the ships all fight automatically. So you don't need to micromanage. If you just keep them in the system, they'll do whatever they want to do, yeah. You can quickly see at a glance your units down this side and enemy ones down that side. So you can see the strength, like, oh shit, I got pirates coming against me. Hang on, let's just these people off me. There we go. So you basically fight against other computer opponents, unless you're playing multiplayer, of course. And you basically just spread out. You slowly spread out because other systems are populated with pirates and things like that. So you can't just rush somebody, which is good. And you have to explore all of this, obviously.
Can you see all of it before you move to that area, or is it?
You can see the planets off in the distance, but you can't see anything, any information about them.
Or the lights.
And you can't see any. There's got to be a planet here I haven't been to. Yeah, this. Here we go. I haven't been there. So it says this planet has not been explored.
So it's a greyed out line.
Yeah. And you also can't see the jump lines without having something in the system. So, the last time I was in this system was 11,000 seconds ago, and back then there was an assembly drone, a metal extractor, a crystal extractor, and a trade port in that system. So that's cool.
That's quite interesting, I do like that. Ooh, a planet with rings.
Yep, planet rings, there's volcanic planets, wormholes. You can research, travel through wormholes. The research tree is a bit daunting to start off with because there's no. You have to hover over each thing to see what it is, so you can't just quickly see at a glance what something is. Like, say you want to build a carrier and it says, prerequisite research has not been carried out. And it doesn't tell you what research it needs, and so you have to glance over everything, and it takes a long time to get through all that. You also need to research to increase your ship limit, because this is the number of ships I'm allowed. Fleet supply, the bigger this is, the more resources it uses, and then you've also got another thing with how many capital ships you can use.
Right, to keep that balance of cost and...
Yeah, because otherwise you just have a fleet full of capital ships. Capital ships level up. Let me just find one somewhere. There's a frontline system. Be one down here. So yeah, these are capital ships. And these have abilities, like, they level up, so this capital ship's level 5.
Okay.
So it's a bit like the heroes in Warcraft 3, really. And as you level them up, you can buy new abilities like railguns and flak and force fields. So that's Keel. You need to develop your planet, so you can't just found a colony and use it. You need to develop them for them to become profitable, because otherwise you run planets at a loss. Like, you can see that one of my planets operates at a loss of 0.1. It's also got culture in it. It's much more primitive than, say, Civilization, in that all you basically do is research a technology and then you build a broadcast tower, and it pushes the influence out to enemy planets. So you see the red here, my culture is there, and yeah, it's slowly spreading. If we watch this one, it's slowly spreading up.
Okay.
So that's cool. In the original game, they've made, this is the 1.3, they have the concept of pirates in it. So at the top you've got a pirates tab, and basically you can put a bounty on other people. So for example, these dudes, I've got a bounty of 10,658 credits. So I can spend my money and increase the bounty, and every, 10 minutes or so, the pirates will basically attack. They pick somebody at random. Typically it's the person who's got the highest bounty against them, and the pirates are incredibly strong.
Okay.
So it's critical to keep them off you. In the later version of the game, they introduced maps with no pirates, and then a bit later they introduced a version which had a toggle to turn pirates off. But in this version, the UK release version, there's no option to turn pirates off, and this is the latest build of the game, which is actually quite annoying because pirates can really swing the tide. This is the pirate system here, and to give you an idea of how incredibly powerful these people are, I'm going to send a fairly considerable fleet against them. Actually, this fleet's already been decimated by the pirates once, but I'm going to send what I've got to this pirate system. So basically, the pirates will have one system on the map,
okay.
per game. And then you have to buy them off to keep off. So I'll just show you how insane.
So you can bribe them to stop attacking you.
Yes. But as they kill the computer player, the bounty, they'll run through the bounty. So you have to keep spending money to keep them off you. So let's just look as this battle goes on. The pirates are just too powerful. Watch.
Face jump on my mark.
Yeah, because you can't see anything.
You can't see anything yet. When I get there, you'll be able to see them, and it'll be not good. Here you go, here they come.
In come your ships.
Bang, bang, bang.
Whoa, okay, that's a lot of pirates.
Right, you can quickly also see... Here we go, that's the system. So down the left you've got a bar which shows all the units in different systems. And I can't find the pirates.
They're already being overwhelmed straight away.
Here we go. This is the system with the pirates on.
Whoa.
So those are, all these dots are my red guys. And just look how many ships of pirates have. It's so... You just cannot take them out. It's... I mean, it's a bloodbath. So I really wish there was an option to turn these flipping things off. Because the fact it's, like, so regular, like, every 10 minutes on the dot, you get attacked. The pirates unleash a wave of ships, and, you know, you need fairly considerable force to fend them off. And...
They end up being a barrier that culls... your forces to stop you getting too big too quickly.
Yeah, but the trouble is, if you're on, say, a 1v1 game, multiplayer, the pirates attack, nobody's put a bounty down, and so it's random who they pick, and so it will completely throw a whole game, because you need a massive fleet to fend the pirates off. I mean,
could you throw, at this moment, with the amount of ships you got, could you throw them all at the pirates and still not win?
That's what I did.
You threw everything you had.
I threw... If we go to the previous save game, I'll show you the size of the fleet I had when I attacked. It was about 5 times the size of the fleet I just sent in. Right. This should be the save game. And then the wrong planet. Down here. Oh, that's after the attack. It was a disaster. I was expecting to overwhelm them easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my whole fleet was just oblivionized. Where am I? Up here.
Call the shot.
No, this isn't the whole fleet I attacked with, but, you know, there's way more units here than before. I had 4 capital ships I went in with, about 30 cruisers... And yeah, this is actually quite a bit before I attacked, so I hadn't built a fleet by then, and it was just a disaster. So one thing I would fix with the game is turn the give me an option to turn the pirates off again, because it's really annoying.
So in any skirmish map, they're there. If I had this game and I played against you,
yeah, basically the single player is a skirmish. Start a new game. There's a few specific scenarios. Or you've got the regular random maps. But it's pirates all the time, yeah. So, what else do I have to say, really? It's slow-paced, which is good. Like I said, you can spend hours on one game, and you slowly expand. Because, simply because other systems are populated with other ships.
Do you have to click on pretty much every ship to get them to do different things, or can you just put an entire fleet there and let them get on with it?
You can just leave stuff to get on with it, basically. I mean, you pick what you want to build, and you basically just click on a planet, or you click on a colony ship, send it to the system, it will colonize that planet, and then you just click on the planet, and you can select what to build. You don't have to wait for prerequisites to build, you can just queue things up before. Like, for example, if you build a hangar, or a factory or whatever, you can click on the factory before it's finished building
and
queue up all the stuff already. So there's
like
very little micromanagement to worry about.
Like Supreme Commander was, where you could get a factory and then start telling it what you wanted it to build once it had built the factory.
Like with Supreme Commander, you could hold on shift and queue up, you know, 100 units for your commander to build. and, you know, click on the factories beforehand. But unlike Supreme Commander, the factory had to have started being built. This, you can just click on the ghosted template and queue it up already. Same with research. Like when once something you want to research is in the queue, you can start building, start queuing the things that they built straight away. So there's virtually no micromanagement to worry about. So you get on with like fleet stuff. I would give this game 4 out of 5. It does have some weak spots. The voice acting is poor. Some of the ships are really cheesy. We need the option to turn the pirates off back. Yeah, I mean, for example, if I played that with my dad, he wouldn't be able to cope with having the pirates on him as well. So, you know, turn it off. We don't want that all the time. It's a good concept, but the fact that it's every 10 minutes on the dot, it's like, ugh. What else? I'm not too happy with the UI. The font in it is really hard on the eyes. And also, you didn't see then, but basically, normally you have like coloured backgrounds, like, you know, nebula effects. They're really hard on the eyes. You've got the reds, which are, you know, if you look at red on a screen for too much,
you'll see green everywhere.
You know, your eyes will go funny. So I had to turn all that off just to have black backgrounds on it. Or black backgrounds.
Which is a shame, because normally those look really nice, because from playing even...
Yeah, in Homeworld it worked, but in this, there's just like something about it, and it didn't quite work, and it made your eyes funny.
I think the probably thing that would do it is, EVE Online, you were rotating the camera quite a lot. Because you couldn't get out that far, you were having to move the camera around a lot. And it's a bit like EVE Online, you have to move a lot on EVE Online, and I'm guessing this one is just that constant there, not moving, burning into your retina sort of feel.
Yes, so there's an option to turn it off, so I turned it off. But there's also galactic backgrounds, which is what I had on there, where it's a subtle blue, you know, which works all right. So I have to turn that off. The fonts are hard to read. Well, they're not hard to read, but they're heavy on the eyes. Like, they're really bold. And reading, I mean, it's white text on black anyway, so that's bad enough. But it's bold as well, and it just staring at it for an hour, my eyes just feel like, ugh.
Yeah.
So they should...
Definitely not a game to play in the dark.
They should make the text a bit lighter and get rid of the bold, because it just makes it harder to read. I'd even consider having an option to invert the colours to make the background white and everything else, you know. Because I think that'd be easiest. So 4 out of 5, good quality release, a lot of fun. A few technical drawbacks, voice acting isn't up to much. Pirates, annoying. Other than that, really good game. Anyone who's wanted a game like Civilization or Masters of Orion or Galactic Civilization but wanted it real time, this is really good. It works really well. Real time, cool. So it's fun and action-y.
But
very little micromanagement, but it's you spread over systems slowly.
Slow pace, not quick fighters coming. Oh my god, I can't click on stuff quickly.
No, I mean, literally, that's the first game I started since I got the game early this week. And it's, you know, I'm still playing it.
That's cool.
But I'm still learning how to play it as well.
Is it campaign-based, or is it just kind of...
Skirmishy. That's what basically what the whole game is, yeah. If there is a campaign, I sure as hell can't see it in the menu.
Okay.
It does have a storyline and all that. And a storyline cheesy, I don't really care about it.
Yeah.
Good game, though.
Cool.
We have sold out.
Oh, that's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like my cup of tea.
Hang on. I just want to mention this one last thing, which is really good. There's no copy protection on the game. No CD keys, no CD check, no activation, nothing. It's like, wow, thank you.
You just put it in, install it, take the disc out, and you have to put it back in again.
Done. Sorted.
Jesus.
No protection at all. So it makes so much of a difference. You know, Crysis I very rarely play, simply because I have to put the effing disc in. Supreme Commander I played more than CNC, because Supreme Commander
had the patch to take the disc off.
First patch, removed the CD check. Command & Conquer, I need the CD. It means I have to go over there. If I want to do it two-player, I have to go over there, I have to put it in here, go over there, put it in there, and it's like, Sins of a Solar Empire, you just click on it, it runs. No copy protection to worry about.
That's cool. Yeah, as I was saying...
Copy protection doesn't do anything. You know, people... If it had copy protection, it would be cracked and posted online anyway.
Yeah.
So why give honest people the hassle?
Ships-wise, I agree with you. It's got initially it doesn't look like my sort of ships. I'm more of a visual person, and I must admit, I do prefer like the Homeworld or X2 and X3 style ships. So
well,
I think
that was only you only saw one style ships. Yeah. There's three civilizations. One of them is quite distinct.
Mm.
Well, they're both fairly distinct, but one of them is really distinct.
But
But the thing is, when you're zoomed out, you just see them as icons anyway.
Yeah, a bit like Supreme Commander. Only reason Supreme Commander actually runs any decent on my computer is the fact I can zoom out and it's like, yeah, the computer just has to process one coloured map and dots. It doesn't have to animate the Kai walking because you can't see him.
So yeah, highly recommended to anyone who likes epic real-time strategy games.
Space Supreme Commander.
It is. It's Homeworld crossed with Supreme Commander crossed with Masters of Orion / Galactic Civilization.
Huh.
Works really well.
Cool.
So yeah, like I said, 4 out of 5. It would have scored higher if it had better sounds, like better voice acting, and you know, if it didn't have pirates, I would have been really tempted to say 5. But I just find the pirates more annoying than anything. So I just had to keep spending money just keeping the pirates off me. And when I attack their system with this huge fleet I've put together, the whole fleet gets wasted. It's like, how can pirates do that? I've got a civilization here of 20 planets, and these pirates kick my ass.
See, pirates were good. Having pirates in a game are a great aspect when you look at stuff like X2, where you'll get attacked.
Where if you're by yourself, you know, yeah, they present a challenge.
Prey on the weak and the innocent. You're still by yourself, you haven't got lots of money, and you've got a cargo freighter with gun turrets on it, and you've managed to save up enough money to have two fighters, and you've got them sat behind you on remote following you. And you're waiting for that one moment where you just go between two sectors that are protected by police, and you just go into that one dark sector in between, and you're kind of like, right, where the hell are they? And all of a sudden, you just get them coming out from the sun direction straight towards you. You can barely see them, and you have to start getting out the ship, autopiling it to the jump gate, automatically commanding your ships to go attack it while you jump in the gun turret and blow the crap out of them. But if you were there and you had your entire armada behind you, did try to fight you, it's a quite quick skirmish to enjoy yourself while you're going across, send off the fire squadron, blow the crap out of the pirates, carry on, who messes with me, I've got a capital ship, don't piss me off. But to have it as a way of...
Damn it, you bastard, I want to play X2 now.
I know, I like X2. I tended to get X3, but it's just a little bit too graphic-y for my computer.
Right, that's it, I'm getting X3, because I never got that.
I did love... There's a few bugs in X2 where cockpit...
Oh yeah, there's plenty of bugs in it.
Cockpit problems, and I can't get past one level where you have to go check for something. On X2, I cannot get past the bit where you've got to go have a look at this broken gate.
Yeah, and go that's further. The level I got up to.
Yeah, you can't find it any further than that. So I went on and got a cheat to give me ultimate money, and I ended up just going, right, stuff the game, I'm going to one corner that is not being... populated at the moment, and I created a couple of sectors with my own mining facilities, and I had cargo ships on automatic to receive so much, then take it there, drop it off, because that one was using that was a solar place and needed batteries. The batteries to go to the mining facility, and the mining stuff had to go somewhere else, and then from there I would send loads and loads of transporters off armed with a capital ship each and a group of fire squadrons loaded on board protecting them, and they would go off and sell their wares, and the rest of them would all have fire squadrons doing laps of these sectors, keeping eye on these patrols guarding any cargo ships.
You should have told me about that cheat, I'm not aware of it.
It is really good. It's an augment on the game save. You go in, you have to do so much of the game save, and you go in and you change a code to give you as much money as you want. But yeah, see, that's a great game. Now, fair enough, that would be better if you could get off onto the platforms and be third person and move around and interact with people and stuff. A bit like Star Wars Galaxy sort of feel, where you've got that X-Wing Alliance type flying around, but you can still get out. And I must admit, for just a one-player game, even that would be great, to be able to have that ability to get out ship and have a bit of a bar fight as you're going in trying to sell your wares to some smuggler or whatever like that, and someone gets ticked off, so you shoot them a couple of times, then you get firefight running down to the hangar bay, getting your ship, fly out, they chase you, you blow them up with your missiles, and I just
good.
Need more games like that. But
I'm getting X3, decided. Right. I'm also going to try and find Thunder for you. Right. One last thing I just thought about. You saw then the scale of the map. That was a four-person map with about 20 planets in it. You can really scale that up. I think the maximum number of players is, I want to say 8, but I'm not sure. It could well be 16, I don't know. But the maximum number of planets you can have is 100.
Wow.
And you can have multiple stars as well. So you actually have to research technology to warp from one star to another star. And so, that would, you know, if you have like 100 planets, 5 stars, and you have 5 people, each take over a system, and they spend everything building up this massive
fleet.
Before
you even bump into someone.
Yeah, they spend all their money building up this massive fleet to surround their star before jumping it to the next system to try and take them on.
And you could go in with scouts trying to fight your way through, just make sure that no one's got that close to your edge of your star to find out what's about and stuff. No, that's quite cool.
I mean, you've also got one-on-one with like 4 planets. So you start off on a planet, it's an uninhabitable asteroid belt where most of the fight will take place to try and push each other back. Because it works really well because it's in space and you've got the jump things, you've got obvious border areas. But because the combat takes so long, because the game is so slow-paced, you can send a fleet back several sectors if it's large enough without being destroyed, if you don't stop the fight.
That's cool.
So you still have to worry about that.
With the jumping from planet to planet to planet, can you be on one side and just say, right, all of you there, ring them all, and then click on your home planet, and they will just keep jumping and jumping?
Yeah.
So you don't have to micromanage each
jump.
Yeah,
I mean, you can see, if you've got wormholes, they'll automatically jump through wormholes if it's closer. So they'll plot the closest route. But if you don't want to go the closest route because it goes through hostile systems, you can shift-click and manually specify which
way
they want to go.
They could be going for, like, 20 minutes getting back, but because you go the long way around where it's not been populated, it's all your trade routes, so that they don't go into the massive battle you've got at the end.
Yeah. Good game.
Sounds good.
Are we back next Sunday?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
We will see you guys next week.
Whoa, no we won't.
Nope.
Hang on a minute. We've got to talk about feedback.
Okay.
Because you can send us feedback at feedback@gamercast.net, or you can just leave stuff on the blog at gamercast.net. You can introduce your friends to the show and earn prizes. Like, you can join my guild in World of Warcraft.
We'll give you gold. If you're lucky.
Yeah. Anyone who introduces a friend to Gamercast, I'll give them 20 copper in World of Warcraft. What else? Oh, dig us, iTunes, blah, blah, blah. Subscribe on your iPhone. Or your HTC Touch Diamond, which has an RSS application built in.
I could subscribe to us on my PSP.
Yeah, subscribe to us on your PSPs. What about the PS3? Has that got a feed application?
Might do. Yeah, I honestly may do.
360 doesn't, unless you use the extender stuff. Turn it off. Okay, so we will see everyone next week on episode 125, where Adam will talk about...
I was thinking, would I be talking about Soul Calibur? I can't remember when that comes out.
Okay, we might be talking about Soul Calibur.
If not, a week after.
If not, too bad. See everyone later.
We'll catch you guys next week.
Dude!
I was going for a guitar riff. Oh, go for a drum beat.
Right, I'm just going to hit stop. Because we've got the music to end the show. We don't need your stupid music machine.
Okay.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.